You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. And James, you want to talk about plastic?
Yes, so last week the government announced that a series of products are going to be placed on a priority list as part of the Waste Minimisation Act. On this list includes e-waste, which Hannah covered yesterday, as well as a range of plastic products, including plastic packaging and a bunch of stuff to do with agricultural containers, among a whole bunch of other products which a lot of people are using. Now, by placing them on the priority list, levies will be put in place and requirements will be made so there is more integration into the circular economy. So the circular economy is an idea which revolves around the fact that many of the products that we consume do not go into a full circular fashion as materials do in nature, instead ending up in places such as landfills. So the idea is that how we consume products right now is we go in a linear motion, we produce, we consume, we dump, whereas if it goes through the circular economy, we produce, we consume, and then that goes through with a recycling process or something similar to that.
Because I kind of know a lot of the plastic that we dump out usually goes directly to the landfill because they're, it isn't really... You can't get a lot of money from recycling.
No, not necessarily, but it is a really vital step that we need to be taking, and it's not just about taking the products that we've got currently and trying to reuse them, but creating more environmentally sustainable products. And as Rachel says in an interview, everything we consume has an environmental impact. It's all down to how much of an impact it has, because there's some things which are never going to end up in a situation where they're going to be decomposing.
Right.
However, I got told earlier this week about this guy who's created this company called Mint Technologies, and pretty much he's found this bug which eats computer parts and it excretes gold. It takes the gold out of computer parts and then they extract the gold. At which they've got millions of dollars invested into it already. Sounds amazing.
This sounds amazing, but who did you talk to?
So continuing on from my little bit, is that while the intention is positive, there is potential for unintended consequences as voiced by the plastic industry. To understand more of their concerns, I talked to Rachel Barker, the CEO of Plastics New Zealand, about what this will mean for the future. So firstly, can you run me through what the decision was that was made by the government last week?
So the government's announced a series of priority products under the Waste Minimisation Act. Those products basically will be required to have mandatory product stewardship schemes put in place. The timing of that depends a little bit on which product you're talking about. So where there's a voluntary stewardship scheme already in place or accredited voluntary scheme in place, they've got a year to put things in, and when nothing exists, there's a three-year co-design period.
So for the plastics industry, does this mean a year?
Well, it depends on the product. So when you actually have a look at them, where plastics ranges across quite a few of those, you've got agrochemicals in their containers. So those, they've already got a stewardship scheme in place under Ag Recovery. So the process for making that one mandatory will be about a year. For something like plastic packaging, where there isn't a stewardship scheme in place at the moment, then it will take longer.
How will this impact the circular economy?
So in terms of improving collection for the specific items, this should help improve it, because what it'll do is put the responsibility for the whole of life of that product into the hands of the producers and the users. So basically the recovery at the end of the process will be paid for somewhere within the supply chain and the use system there. Where it might be bad for the environment is where people are being driven away from one solution to another because of levies that might be applied, but the alternative doesn't actually have a good environmental impact in itself.
So I was going to say, what does this mean for the production of plastics in New Zealand? Will we see a result of more people going overseas to produce plastics?
Yeah, potentially. So with announcing plastic packaging over single-use packaging, what effectively will happen is that the brands will move away from plastics where there's any reason not to use it, basically. So if, from a cost perspective, someone pops up with an alternative that is, you know, similar price, doesn't have a levy on it, then they may well move to that. In terms of that alternative, it may actually be not recyclable, it may have less climate change impacts than the original plastic packaging, but, you know, from the producer's point of view, it may look good to the consumer who doesn't necessarily understand the full whole-of-life impacts, and they don't have to pay the levy and be part of the scheme. So when you take that into account, those alternatives are often produced overseas rather than in New Zealand, which means that the local manufacturer will definitely have lower production and therefore fewer jobs.
Surely as consumers become more environmentally conscious, they'll migrate towards packaging which doesn't have an environmentally damaging impact?
So all packaging, all human activity has environmental impact. It's just the degree of that. When it comes to packaging, and plastics in particular, there's a huge focus on the end of life for the material, which, you know, we've definitely got some things we need to resolve there to make sure that we are circular, we're reducing unnecessary packaging, that sort of thing. However, when you look at the alternatives, so, you know, a lot of consumers think that glass is automatically better than plastic, for example, because, you know, the theory is it's reusable, it's more recyclable, that sort of thing. Now, in New Zealand, if you say look at a glass milk bottle versus our HDPE or number 2 plastic milk bottles, those are actually both recycled at quite high levels. As a single-use option, the glass is way heavier. Glass also requires much higher temperatures to actually produce than the plastics. So from a production perspective and from a transport perspective, you've got far greater climate change impact for the glass than you do for the plastic for a single-use option. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of nuanced detail that when you consider the whole of life, not many people actually understand that.
Previously, what has the plastics industry been doing to become more environmentally friendly?
There's a heap of activity going on in regards to that. So if you look at the packaging space, for example, there's a lot of the New Zealand packaging manufacturers have been doing things like moving away from the problematic materials, you know, PVC packaging, for example, the number 3 plastic, and basically moving into things that are recyclable in New Zealand. You know, we've got some great activity around the number 1 plastics, your soft drink bottles, meat trays, that sort of thing, where we've seen a shift towards the recyclable materials, and we've got reasonably good recycling onshore of those materials as well. And we're seeing that across pretty much most of the packaging, which is really good. In terms of the actual industry itself, I'm seeing a lot of use of recycled content within products. At the moment, a lot of that is post-industrial because we need to get some of the sorting systems within the resource recovery sector in place to actually, you know, extract the resources. But, you know, it's definitely on the increase. So in terms of creating that circularity, we're seeing some good things there.
Now, one of the huge sectors that relies on plastics is the food industry. So what impact will all of this have on the food industry?
It's going to be very interesting to see. So I think at this stage, we're very early on in the process. So over the next 3 years with plastic packaging, there'll be a co-design process that'll bring in all of the different players across the sector. So it'll include the, you know, your producers who are your brands, basically, who are making your food and beverage products, the actual manufacturers of the packaging, the resource recovery sector. All the different pieces of the puzzle will come together to actually work through the logistical challenges that we've got with that one. In terms of what will actually happen, it's really hard to say at this point. There's so many different models that could be applied, and we may need multiple models when you actually look at how many different packaging formats are covered by the plastic packaging declaration. So, and each one of those models may need a different end of life solution, therefore it may need different costs built into the system. So, but what it does do is it moves the cost away from, you know, from councils and your general public through rates, and it puts it onto the, you know, the actual users of the products and those who are producing them. It moves it into the system where it actually should be.
As all of this is taken on, what impact will there be on consumers?
I think in some ways it actually gives the consumer more power and more visibility in terms of choice. So at the moment it can be very difficult to actually, you know, look at a couple of products and decide which one to go with from an environmental impact. Any product stewardship scheme that's put in place is likely to have, you know, publicity, labelling, that sort of thing associated with it. So from a consumer's point of view, you can actually choose which option to go with and therefore know what environmental impact you're actually having through that choice.
Okay, sweet. Are there any other comments you'd like to make?
I mean, overall, our view really is that it should have been placed on single-use packaging rather than plastic packaging, because I genuinely believe there's going to be environmental damage from this as producers are sort of driven away from plastics.
Okay, so more looking at stuff that's only going to be used once instead of, like, containers and stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've got a lot of problematic single-use plastic, single-use packaging out there. So it's not just the plastic that's an issue, it's actually the single-use packaging that is the issue. So when you're looking at a circular system, what we actually need to be doing is trying to resolve the whole system as opposed to a material.
Okay, so I'm sort of wondering, what about things like, say, I'm looking at a pump bottle right now. Now, that's technically able to be reused, but a lot of people use it as a single use. Where would that come into this?
So, in terms of the actual, the mandatory product stewardship?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those definitely would be classed as single use under that scheme. They are covered by plastic packaging because it's a very broad scope in terms of that declaration. They are also covered by the container return scheme work that is happening at the moment. So if a product stewardship scheme around beverage containers is announced, you know, at some point later this year, then those would also be part of that, in which case, you know, you might find that you get a deposit back when you actually take that pump bottle back to somewhere.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was James talking to Rachel
Barker
of Plastics New Zealand. And we have a couple of texts just came in about this story and our earlier international desk on John Hume. One said, great piece on Hume, and Steve has been tracking my music choices, saying, I recall you may have played Dreams a few weeks back. As a matter of fact, I did. That was at the end of April. I think that's when we just came back down to level 3 restrictions. So, yeah, you have a really great memory, Steve. And other texts, mostly about plastics, mostly focused on the bugs so that the you discussed about, yeah. James.
So the gold bugger, it's like it's an insect from my understanding. I only briefly got told about this, but it sounds like some very cool and upcoming technology, which I hopefully will look into in the future.
Is that really some sort of technology if you rely on bugs to transform your stuff into gold?
It comes under biotechnology, really. I mean, same as you could say, like, red food colouring, that comes from bugs, and that's considered food technology.
But some of the texts, I must say, are quite entertaining. One said, is that a computer bug?
Yes, we love a good pun around here.
Yes. We just had a fresh text came in. Refilling plastic water bottles can quickly create a bacteria buildup. Better for your health to splash on a stainless. That's from Paul. What do you reckon?
I'd say, I mean, obviously in any situation, it's better that you should be reusing a bottle. And I think I have heard about bacteria building up in a plastic bottle. I think I asked that question with the intention that there's a lot of things that get labelled as like, oh, you can reuse this bag, especially with, I think, with the plastic bag ban, with the single use. People were going out and you could get a, there's some plastic bags you can get which are technically labelled as reusable and that you can reuse them. But whether people actually do reuse them is another question. I feel a lot of people don't end up reusing them.
Well, maybe we'll have to see about that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's definitely a developing area. And as Rachel sort of stated, some areas are going to be, we're going to be seeing progress within a year. Some are going to be seeing it within 3 years. And some in between those two periods of time. It'll definitely be an area to watch.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/becasts.